I was a lieutenant. If I'd stayed in, I would have been a captain. I was there almost at the end. I was there 67, 68, and got out just before we lost. When you get older, you can pick out three or four events in your life that changed your life. There was a day when I stood there and they said, "Do you want to join ROTC?" And I said, "Yes." That changed my life. It wasn't like I sat there and thought about it. You know, it was, okay, I'll do that. Seemed like an interesting thing, and I don't regret it. It was fascinating to watch this incredibly complex operation. I had only one permanent address my entire life, and in the next 2.5 years, I had a dozen. I was stationed in California when I got the word that I was going to Fort Riley. I only had about 6 months to go, and then they said, "Oh, we're going to extend your enlistment, and you're going to go to Vietnam," because that's the way the Army does things. You live a life where one day a letter shows up in the mail and says, "Go here." And then 3 months later, a letter comes in and says, "Go there, and here, and there, and there." You know, and it's just orders with no rhyme or reason. And I'm sure somebody, maybe higher up, had some idea as to why they were doing this. But, you know, when you're way down at the bottom of the chain, you have no idea. You just follow orders. The reason I went in the Army was because I thought I was going to get drafted. And we eliminated the draft, and I don't think that was necessarily a good thing. Even though I have a couple of kids, I wouldn't like to see them go in the military per se, but I think some kind of government service, some kind of national service, just to feel like you're part of the country. In Saigon, there was these giant warehouses full of everything, most of which you couldn't get. But if you had a friend who happened to be a colonel, you could just drive in and take anything you wanted, because rank has its privilege. Nobody would ever say no to a colonel. You know, and we were looking for photographic equipment. You know, who else wanted it? I had 14 guys that worked for me, and we were very close. Photographers are armed with 45 caliber pistols, and no one else in the Army has those anymore except generals. And so there was an extreme shortage of bullets. Nobody had any 45 caliber ammunition. I think there were 14 of us, and we had a dozen bullets. So we'd pass the bullets out when somebody was going out, you know. And most of the time, the guys kept their guns wrapped in plastic, you know. We were really into taking pictures, not into shooting people. Maybe it wasn't obvious in 65 or 66 when we made the big mistake, when we made the big commitment. You know, we're going to stop communism. It seemed like a reasonable thing to do. I really felt that we were there to help the people. And by the time I left, I felt that they didn't want us there. It was pretty clear that they were fighting for more than we were. We had trouble understanding why we were fighting. We would sit in the jungle and hear the bombs. We were using Agent Orange, battleships, helicopters, and those guys didn't have any of that stuff. They had nothing, and they were winning. They wanted to have their own government, and we were trying to push them in another direction, and it's obvious now that it didn't work. I mean, if we lost 55,000 guys, you can imagine how many they lost. The concept of war, the concept of being in the jungle in Southeast Asia, all of that was so foreign, and there was no orientation. It was all just play it by ear. It was a military operation, and you just walked beside everybody else and did what they told you. No one said, you know, this is an ancient culture, you should respect it. Maybe there were people in the embassy who were there for that or whatever, but not the military. That's not what we were there for. Every time you'd pass an American outpost, there was somebody holding a sign. And the sign says 128 or 234 or 4, and it's the number of days that they have left. Everybody was waiting to go home. Everybody knew that they didn't belong there, and everybody wanted out. Our presence was very obvious. I saw the American Embassy grow up to be the largest building in Saigon. And I think now our presence is pretty much gone. When I went home, we flew into San Francisco. And when we got off the plane, there were anti-war demonstrators, you know, people holding up signs, baby killer, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And that made you feel bad. You know, you have to understand where they're coming from. And, you know, there was a very strong anti-war movement, and it's a democracy, so they had a right to say what they wanted to say. War is a very difficult thing, and a lot of bad things happen on both sides. They weren't nice to us either. We lost 55,000 guys. 55,000 guys. And that makes me feel bad. You always feel funny about not being wounded. You know, why did he get wounded and I didn't get wounded? Why did he die and I didn't die? You know, a lot of people didn't come back, and, you know, some people were lucky, but a lot of people were unlucky. you can't erase it. You can't say it didn't happen and that you weren't there. It gets more and more unreal, but you know, you compare it to what are we doing in Iraq? What are we doing in Afghanistan? You know, what do we do in Libya? You know, what was better? What was worse? You know, you certainly learn from it. I think the whole country learned from it. Our relationship with Vietnam is completely different than what we predicted it would be. I think we were thinking that Vietnam would turn into a North Korea, into a solid communist state and, you know, a dictatorship and so forth. And now a lot of people who were in the war go back as tourists. Vietnam was 50 years ago now. I wonder if 50 years from now, how we're going to feel about Iraq and how we're going to feel about Afghanistan and how we're going to feel about all these other little wars. And why can't we ever not be at war is the question you keep asking yourself. And what have we gained? I'm not against war. I think there are times when you have to defend yourself. But there are times when the political leaders make decisions that history does not look kindly at. And I think Vietnam is one of those.